Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College Podcast. Reality is defined as the world or the state of things as they actually exist, as opposed to an idealistic or notional idea of them. Or another definition says, a thing that is actually experienced or seen, especially when this is grim or problematic, as in the harsh realities of life. The reality of sin is brokenness, hurt, and pain. But it's impossible for those in our world who are hurting to experience healing apart from a healer. Nearly equally impossible is the desire for those who know the healer to share him, except they first share in the pain and brokenness of others' sins. This is IBC reality. Not a single event, not a week, but a launch into a lifestyle of sharing the Savior with those to whom we may never otherwise speak. Whether in a church pulpit or in the inner city streets, giving Bible studies to people who are broken and hurting, we believe that it is important to connect passion and win souls to Jesus one by one. Nearly every Saturday, students meet and travel to people hubs to share Christ as part of the Urban Missions Minor here at IBC. Last week, however, the entire student body traveled to people hubs, sat down with people who didn't know Jesus, and tried to expose themselves to the hurt of sin and brokenness, to set up home Bible studies, to pray with people on the streets where they were, to take this healer to their hurt. This week, we're sitting down with Brother Sleva and a few students who were a part of that and get just an inside look at IBC reality. I know that you will enjoy this look at a launch into a lifestyle of evangelism. This is IBC reality.
So I'm Jim Sleva, and I work at Indiana Bible College as the Dean of Urban Missions. It's kind of my passion, working with ministry in the urban setting. I've been here at IBC for 31 years now, starting my 31st year. And I've seen some good changes that I'm really excited about as far as young people getting a broader vision to doing things outside the church building. I suppose urban missions for the students here at IBC, it'd be basically ministering in places that is kind of like outside the church doors. I believe it's almost 80% of the world's population has moved into the metro areas, and so cities are getting larger and larger, and have fewer rural areas where people live at. And so in this shift, you have a high concentration of people, which cause, not in every case, but a lot of cases, you end up with more crime, you end up with more spiritual needs, poverty, just a number of things where it seems like the problems get concentrated. And so to have a focus on trying to reach the inner city and also the needs of the inner city is way different than what you see inside the church building. Very few, it appears that very few sinners actually make it inside our church doors in comparison to the amount of church people that are there. And so if you just have a low percentage of unsaved people at church, that means we're not preaching to the lost world. We're mostly preaching to ourselves. And so the concept here in urban missions is, how are you going to get outside the door to reach where we have the thickest concentration of sinners, which is a lot of times uncomfortable to minister there. And so I think, just human nature being what it is, we feel safer when we can group up inside our four safe church walls, be comfortable with our air conditioning, we can worship God, and we feel real free to do that because we're kind of protected from the scrutiny or the mockery or whatever else of the outside world who would love to throw its jabs. But when you walk outside the door, I think we quickly sometimes withdraw from our God focus, and we kind of tend to hide our light under a bushel. You know, the present generation now, I think, are actually almost losing people skills because rather than talk to people face to face, they get on their device and text or whatever, and it's almost more comfortable to project an image by taking selfies, and this is who I am, which may not even be close to the truth of who we are, but we feel safer because we can kind of control what people see. And I'm not sure, I mean, obviously you can use the technology we have now to have your services broadcast and for almost nothing. You can do so many things to get the gospel out there. People are looking on the internet, but how do you actually meet a person in need on the side of the road? I think that we're losing a little bit of skill just to, and again, everybody's so paranoid of everybody, how do you just engage people and have fellowship and bring the gospel? You know, I believe it was way back at the beginning of IBC that Brother Mooney shared the fact that he didn't want us just to be a classroom of teaching information from the scriptures, but that he wanted to actually train ministers. And training ministers means more than just head knowledge. It means gaining experiences and to be able to say, how do we impact a city? And so in trying to fulfill that goal and to start churches, to spread revivals, to build daughter works, it'd be necessary for us to get outside, again, our four church walls, because I think as a whole, people just don't come to church because you have a service. In trying to actually gain training where a student could say, if I feel like God's calling me to another state when I graduate from IBC, and I'm going to try to start a church, a church plant or whatever, how do we go about doing that? It may sure help us to have some experiences like, well, I have been out on the streets before. I have talked to people. I've seen God heal people. I'm thinking over the past years, we've had a number of miracles actually take place when students were just talking to people on porches. One man had a huge growth on his leg, and when they were inviting him to come to service later that night, he says, no, I would, but I really would love to, but I got this big, ugly, I can hardly walk because of this growth in my leg. And the guy said, well, can I pray for you right now? While they prayed, that thing broke and just literally fell off the person right there on the porch, and they were like so blown away, they absolutely were church that night. So there's amazing, phenomenal things that'll take place that can just happen with just average people that know a supernatural God.
Up your mindset on the needs of the people around us. Doing what Brother Sleva says all the time is that exposure breeds a burden. That's exactly what we're doing. We're going out there and we're getting exposed to the true needs of this world, and it creates a burden in the hearts of the people. And so urban missions is something that really magnifies on that, that really amplifies on trying to do that, to reach out to people that need God, that have needs, and that we have the answer. We have the answer to what people are looking for. We have the answer to what people are seeking for. And so Urban Missions is something that really kind of hits on that well, in my opinion. Some of the ministries that Urban Missions have to offer is going to Laurelwood, or going to, you know, jail ministries or nursing homes, just some things like that. One thing that we do is on Saturdays is we go out to around, you know, downtown area. We hit up the library, we hit up a place like that. And so those are just some ministries that you can get involved in just through Urban Missions alone. During street ministries, in my own personal experience, there's a time where I was downtown at the library, and I saw a man there, and he kind of was watching what I was doing, and he comes over, and he asked, he said, what are you guys doing here? And I said, well, we're just kind of going around talking to some people and telling them about the Lord. And tears started forming in his eyes, and he said, I have a messed up life, and I don't really know what to do, and I don't know where to turn to. And so I started talking to him. I said, well, the Lord can touch your needs and the Lord can help you. And that opened up an opportunity to get his contact information, and hopefully a Bible study will start to form from that. But he just has this hunger for God, and it all started from just going to a place that has needs, going to a place like that. And he came to church on Sunday and he really felt the Lord. And I think God's really starting to work in his life.
I would like to share a little bit about Christian Faulkner. He's another student. And he really had a passion for the down and outers, a lot of times the homeless people, and pretty much was able to get usually 8-10 IBC students every Saturday morning to get up, have a season of prayer.
I think a lot of times that we expect to hear these testimonies from overseas and great miracles and revival happening over there, but we fail to realize that a lot of that is happening right here on American soil, and it starts with us. It doesn't start with your pastor or with them. It starts with the individual himself if they want to see true revival. Urban Missions is revival on our own turf, on our own home soil. Our goal in street ministries is to put students out. A lot of the times, their very first time ever doing something, it's not the same as going out and door knocking. It's going out and actually connecting and praying with people. It's a great opportunity to get outside of your comfort zone and be exposed to other cultures that you otherwise would never be exposed to if you never applied yourself in such a ministry. And Urban Missions is really our goal here in Indianapolis, is that we can turn this city on its side and see Holy Ghost revival poured out. We don't want to stop at just one or two people being saved or brought into the church, but really, if we want to see this end time revival, it's going to start here while we're in Bible college. It's not going to start after Bible college. It'll start here today, this week, whatever. And we have Reality Week coming up, and we're really expecting to see a move of God, and hopefully, and we're praying, and a lot of us are fasting that God, we won't just let God move for that week and then just stop for the rest of the year, but we'll allow Reality Week to be a reality life that will just continue to go on, and we'll continue to see great moves of God, not just once a week, but let revival be poured out all across the city of Indianapolis.
So Reality Week is trying to help push students out of their comfort zone to say that, no, we are not going to be having services in a church service, in a church building. We're going to be going out to the streets, and we want to attempt to reach people there. I know a lot of times, I think that's the experiences we need to have. However, very conveniently, I think a lot of students who just are really just literally scared, having no previous experience there, it's the first time thing, and so it's like, they avoid it, and you have people that have to go to work, you have people got homework, you have lots of other distractions. And so it was really hard to try to get everybody to be involved in outreach outside a church building, the safe four walls of church. And so what we did is we decided that we would just take away two school days. And what we'd do is we'd just say, okay, there's no excuses. You're not at work. You'd normally be at school. We've given you this time. We're going to do a little bit of training about how to approach people on the streets. And then just everybody will go out there. We sign them to small teams. They're going to go out. We call that reality week. I think for the students that participate in it, after it's over with, it's like, wow, that was so great and awesome, because they recognize it isn't really as difficult as we think it is in our mind. Secondly, God shows up and does some awesome connections, and you just get pumped about the leads that God gives you, or maybe even the prayers that you get to pray with people.
My name is Nate Wager. I'm 19 years old. I'm a sophomore at Indiana Bible College, and I have a testimony about Reality Week. So I remember last year just hearing all the testimonies and stuff, and I met some people, but I didn't really have a lot of things like something cool stand out to me. I remember praying with one guy last year, but this year, Wednesday, I was really hoping God would send somebody to me and help me give me a testimony. And it didn't happen Wednesday. We met some people, we made some good connections, but like nothing like out of the like crazy happened. So, but Thursday rolled around, and I'm just, that morning I prayed. I was like, God, just give me a testimony, like send me someone to talk to and to pray for. And Thursday we're doing our blocks and stuff, and we're like going through, and like house after house we're just getting denied and rejected. And then our group leader says, let's go over to this last block that we have to hit, our last street. So me and Kayleen are walking down this road, and we're knocking doors. And about the fifth house on the right, we knock on this door, and this older gentleman answers, and he was hard hearing, and we're trying to explain like we're from IBC and we're inviting people to a block party. And like, but when he answered the door, he was looking past us. He's like, I'm sorry about that. It's just a really kind of a bad neighborhood. And he's like, I'm afraid to go outside. And we're like, well, man, we can pray for that and stuff. And but he just ignores us, and he like goes on to say, he's like, yeah, my wife died a year ago. He's like, I live alone. My kids don't really visit me because they work a lot and stuff. And he was like very lonely. And so explain, we're from Indiana Bible College, and we're inviting people to a block party. He goes, oh, wow, you guys are from Bible College. He's like, I went to Bible College whenever I was a teenager. And he's like, I went to Springfield, Missouri to a Baptist Bible College. And it turns out he's a retired Baptist preacher. And his name is Daryl. And we're like, Daryl, we gotta go. We got some other streets, and our group is wanting to know where we're at. And he's like, well, I appreciate you guys stopping in. I was like, well, Daryl, can we pray for you before we leave? He's like, over the fear in your life, and just let's pray for like God to have peace in this neighborhood and stuff. So he said, yeah. He's like, well, Daryl, can I lay my hands on you? And like he was still sitting down. And he looked at me. He goes, hey, are you Pentecostal? I was like, yes, sir, I'm Apostolic Pentecostal. We believe in laying on hands. I was like, if it's okay, I'd like to lay my hands on you and pray for you. He's like, yeah, I'll be okay with that. He's like, once you said that, it reminded me that Pentecostals do that a lot. I was like, yeah. So we prayed for him. It was like only like a 5-minute prayer. We prayed over fear. And like immediately after that, you can just feel God's presence and like peace fall in the house. And it was just like a really cool experience. And then out of nowhere, he just like points across the street and he goes, do you see that house over there? And we're like, yes, sir. He's like, what about it? And he's like, that's a meth house. And he said they make drugs in there, and then there's an RV across the street, and you can see them traffic back and forth, and they sell drugs out of that RV, and there's people are really messed up. And he said even down the road a little bit, there's a prostitution wagon. And we're like, wow, man, we'll be careful, like we'll make sure to avoid those things. And he's okay. I was like, but Daryl, I believe God can do a miracle and like have peace on your neighborhood and stuff and in your life. He's like, yes, I believe that too. At the block party Saturday, Daryl didn't show up, so I decided to call him and see if he needed a ride to church tomorrow or Sunday and stuff. And I called him again. Hey, Daryl, this is Nate Wager. I came over to your house and prayed for you. Do you remember me? He goes, yeah. Nate, I'm so glad you called. I have to tell you something. I was like, what's up, Daryl? What's going on? He goes, you won't believe this. He said, you know how you prayed over fear and peace, and you prayed for peace in the neighborhood and stuff? I was like, yeah. He's like, that meth house across the street burnt down the next day. And he said the RV where all those, where they sell drugs and stuff, they packed up and left. He said the prostitution wagon down the street packed up and left. He goes, I haven't seen him since. He's like, I don't know what to say, Nate. It's like, it's either a really big coincidence or a miracle from God. I said, Daryl, there's no doubt that was God answering our prayer. And he's like, I was like, we have to get together and talk about this. He's like, yes, we need to, but I'm out of town right now. But I believe God is gonna have revelation in his life, and it was just a really cool connection, and I'm gonna try to get him to church.
Our Littlewood concert is basically there. Our neighbors that's right next to us here at IBC has 190 units, so like projects. And we've been kind of connected with them being neighbors over the past 30 years. And we have built some relationships with leadership there. So they're very favorable to us getting connected with their people. Basically what we do is we would pass out flyers advertising that we'd like to do a Christian concert there. And then we basically send the whole school over, which on the outdoor basketball court, we'll set up our PA equipment and have outdoor concert. A lot of the kids come out. There's lots of kids there. And they give them a chance to interact with our students. They might be playing games or whatever else. But it kind of breaks the ice a little bit that we're not just strange people that live next door. We get to know each other, get to learn names, share events. Usually you'll find that the older people will kind of maybe from a distance listen to the concert. There'll be maybe 100 chairs set up there out in the basketball court. And a lot of them, they'll be sitting from their porches or watching from the distance. However, towards the conclusion of the concert, of course, it's time to pray and ask if people want prayer for special needs. It doesn't necessarily have to be for only salvation. Sometimes just to say we care about our community, we want to pray with you. So when you have probably well over 200 students intermingling in there, and then, of course, you have a much larger population there and a chance to interact and have conversations and share, laugh, cry, pray together, share needs.
My name is Brandon Inscore. I'm 21 years old, and I'm a freshman at Indiana Bible College. This week was Reality Week here at IBC, and it was pretty phenomenal experience. At our home church back in North Carolina, I've grown up getting used to outreaching, so it's nothing new for me. But being able to connect with someone so closely like Laurel would, it was a new experience. I got connected with a young man named Tobias and his friends Jaquan and Brandon, and they were telling us how they wanted to come to church on Sunday. So we went and picked him up on Sunday morning, and I called Tobias's dad because he was like, "Hey man, I really want to come, but my dad has to say yes. So can you call him? Because he'll say no to me." So I call him and he says, "Yeah, he can go." And Tobias's reaction after I hung up the phone was just pure excitement. He was jumping up and down saying, "Yes, yes, yes, I can go." And his friends went. So we went to church on Sunday. They had a good time. They were, you know, we got in the car after service. They were like, "Look, man, we stand up when you guys stood up. We clapped. We jumped up and down when you guys jumped. It was fun." And then we took them out to eat at McDonald's. They had a good time then. And one of the kids said something to me that really struck me. Brandon goes, "This has been the best 3 days ever." And it just, to see the joy and the happiness that came from just, you know, 1 day, 2 days at the block party, and then taking them to church, of just being with them and letting them know that someone loves them and is there for them, to care for them, whether it was buying them a meal or just spending good quality time with them. They said a lot of little comments and things that just really tug at your heart. And I was so happy to be a part of it. They asked to come back Sunday night. They came back Sunday night. And then the phenomenal thing was they started asking about baptism and stuff just randomly. Like, we didn't bring it up or anything. They brought it up on their own. So we had the good idea of, you know, going hanging out with them today, Monday, and we're going to play basketball with them. But before we do that, we're going to teach them a quick little Bible study on any questions that they have on that, and just really try and start getting connected with them, or getting them used to, you know, truth and all that stuff. Because, you know, I think they want the quality time, and but it's just not about that. It's just not about spending time with them. It's about opening them up to truth. So I'm excited to see what comes from it, and I really hope we stay consistent with it, because they're loving it.
The block party is actually twofold. One, it gives us an excuse to be meeting people. Not you have to have an excuse, but it helps them to say, "Hey, we're inviting you to a block party. We just want to get to know our neighbors better, and we want to just have a time of fellowship. You can just sit and chat, get to know us a little better. We're Calvary Tabernacle. We're tell you what we're about. We'd like to know a little bit about who you are." And so it's just it's going to have a bouncy houses for kids to be involved in, which will be fun. They'll have some games, Gaga Pit and whatever else. They'll have a table that's just sitting around. You just sip iced tea or whatever else, and sweet tea, and just chat with people. At the same time, they'll have a concert going on, and a chance to just feel the worship. Now, the purpose is, when you're talking to people and you've created an atmosphere of worship simultaneously, it creates a feeling which I think makes for good conversations, and they sense you guys are different.
I was just standing in line for food with a couple people, with one of the kids actually, that came with us, and I just started talking to this guy named Mike. And Mike just gets to talking about his life and different stuff that happened, and I'm just making conversation. And then a group was singing. It was IBC Chosen. And they were singing a song that had to do with miracles. And Mike looks at me and he goes, you know, I know God can do miracles. And I was like, you're right, Mike. Like, well, like, what's happened in your life is what I asked him. He goes, he said, I've had colon and liver cancer 4 times, he said. And he said, I've dealt with this 4 times, and every time God has brought me through. And he said, it's coming back now. And I was like, that's crazy, Mike. And he said, Mike, he didn't know, just from talking to him, he didn't know the full truth. But he was just talking about what God has done in his life. And I said, well, Mike, is it okay if I pray with you right now? And I prayed with him. And he goes, he was just talking after. And he said, you know, God's done miracles for me before. But he said, just from being around you guys, he said, I can tell something is different about what you guys have. And I, you know, told him our church times, and I gave him my number. And I don't know if he came to Calvary yesterday or not, but he has my number, and I reached out to him, and I'm praying for him. But it just kind of, you know, just talking to Mike, somebody who had been through a rough time and knew God could do miracles, but just from talking to him, he knew that there was something different about what we had than what he had experienced before.
As just a philosophy, you know, it's not like, sure, I've been doing jail ministry for a long time, so maybe I know how to do some things that they haven't had a chance to experience yet, but does that make me more qualified or more equipped? The reality is the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, and we have to just realize we are nothing, and so it's not about who would be dressed or has the right talk or whatever. It's really, I think, who's willing to be used by God. And so I try to take students along with me and actually throw them right into the fire, so to speak, to say, look, I need you to talk to these people. And it's amazing what God can do, even with our feeble attempts, if we're just willing to say, I'm willing to go. I want them to see what can happen, because I think a lot of times our faith to even believe that God can work on the streets is because of our fear of what won't happen. We don't even try. When we see somebody doing it, it's not like, whoa, this could actually happen. And when they actually become part of it and say, like, wow, God even used me. I even had a chance to say this or do that or be of help. I think that, man, they get pumped and excited about what God can do with their life. And so that becomes a really exciting moment. So I think every time, well, I always believe that exposure breeds a burden. And so if they can get exposed to see what could be happening in sometimes the weirdest, strangest places, man, all of a sudden it's like they're going to catch a burden and something's going to want to be driving their life. And they're going to say, man, I've got to give myself to this. I've got to become what God wants me to be. It doesn't matter if I get credit, if I make money, if I'm known or not known. It's like I just want God to move. And that becomes a driving force. So I think it's the right thing that teachers should always have a rabbinical mode where you just bring your students with you and you learn it on the streets.
campus students at Indiana Bible College have the opportunity to study in three major areas: biblical studies, missiology, and worship studies. If you or someone you know is interested in any one of these three areas, we encourage you to check out www.indianabiblecollege.org. On the website, you can find answers to all of your most frequently asked questions. But if the answer is not there, fill out the form in the Contact Us section, and we will be happy to get the answer for you. Good news for all you listeners out there who would love to continue your education with Indiana Bible College, but simply can't make the trip to Indianapolis to do so. The Indiana Bible College Distance Learning Program is now accepting students who would like to continue their education, complete a degree, or just get an advanced certificate of studies. For more information on this and more about the Distance Learning Program, visit www.ibcdl.com.
Should I say, hi, my name is, or should I just? Sorry. All right, yeah, I'm done. All right.